Poor Joseph must have almost been afraid to go to sleep these days, because every time he went to sleep he had another dream and another angel turned up and he had to pack up and move every time. This time he ends up in Egypt and with Mary. So Matthew uses in his gospel the historical plugs, if you like, from the Old Testament. What Matthew has done in his account of Jesus' birth, and at this particular time before he starts his ministry, is he parallels Jesus with Moses. And so Jesus in one sense becomes the new Moses. And Egypt figures so strongly in Moses' life, journeying to Egypt and journeying away from Egypt are so strong in Moses' life. And now we have the same pattern occurring in Jesus' life with his father and mother. Now, the church calls this the Feast of the Holy Family. Now, just remember, please, that we refer to the Holy Family, not the perfect family. There is no perfection in any of us, let alone families, until we are with God. So there were imperfections. Doesn't mean to say that they were sinful, but there would have been imperfections in the relationship between Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So the church has always looked at the term family and the understanding of family in several ways. Now, those things don't change, really. What changes is society. And for those of you who remember the awful debates that went on during the same-sex debate before Parliament, the pain that was caused to very, very good people across all sorts of states of life and in all sorts of families in that debate was horrible. So let's not, for one minute, equate our imperfect family with the holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In one sense, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph become symbols for us, something in a spiritual sense to aspire to. If you really want to go that way, well, then be prepared to go to sleep every night and have an angel wake you up and you get some dream, and just make sure you've got your bag packed and your passport underneath your pillow, because it will require movement in your life. But it is something that we aspire to. The very language of family in the church, in a spiritual sense, has not altered. And it comes firstly when we call God Father, which makes us daughters and sons. The relationship between Jesus as Father and Son, this is what we call familial language. And then the Holy Spirit, in the relationship of Father-Son, is the love that binds and that is returned. It particularly comes through in the second reading today. And that love is connected, in our family sense, to forgiveness. So true forgiveness equals love. If you have love in your earthly family, then there must be forgiveness in there. Very difficult to achieve, but that's what we aspire to. So we have the relationship of the Trinity as an example of the family. We have today the relationship in the church sense of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, mum and dad and one kid. Once upon a time, it was mum and dad for us. And, well, I'm doing a funeral here on Thursday where there were 10 children from this parish. So for whatever it is in your family's background, mum and dad and ever how many children, or sadly, perhaps even no children, that still constitutes the family. But today we concentrate on Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And the impact is on Joseph, as is Matthew's Gospel's emphasis. And the point here is Joseph listened to God, so there was that family relationship, and he was obedient and acted on that, all to do with the security or the safety of his son, his earthly son, Jesus. Now, families can plug into that very easily. Most of the hard decisions that you make as parents and grandparents that your children don't like is because you are very protective of them. When your son or daughter reaches teenage years and says, can I have a sleepover at blah blah's place? And you say, who's going to be there? And then they tell you, and then you say no. They get upset. You've all been there, I know you have. You're probably still going through it. If you haven't, you will go through it, Michelle. It happens. And the reason that parents do that is acting like Joseph is today. It is for the safety and for the protection, particularly, of their children. And so parents often say no in order to enforce the love of their child. And that hurts the child because there's just a maturity thing there that they don't always understand. The other example that we use in the church terms of understanding family is that the church has often been, the family has often been referred to as the domestic church. It was a phrase that St. Pope John Paul II used a lot, the domestic church. And that plugs into what I've already said, the family understanding of the Father, the Son, and the love of the Spirit, the understanding of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that family. So we become a reflection. That's what the domestic church means. The domestic church is not the perfect church. It is on the way to holiness, but it is not the perfect church. And so once again, I say, the Holy Family were the Holy Family because of who they were and the way that they acted and responded. And they still lived with the imperfections of being a human being that all of you and I live with these days. So I say, in their forgiveness, which equals love when we talk about families, that is probably the key to making families work better, whatever your experience of family might be. In these days, we have a very challenging experience of being family. The church's definition, classical definition, and what is happening in society doesn't always align, but what does align is the love that binds the people together. And today the emphasis is on three things. Firstly, it is the love of mum and dad, of parents, for their children. It comes through the gospel. And that's mainly exercised out of safety. Security is probably a better word. So that's the gospel. Joseph does all of that for the security of his family. Come to the next reading from Colossians, and we have the love between children and their parents. And I don't have to go through that beautiful list. It's there for you. And that is one of the readings that, interestingly, is often chosen by brides and grooms at their wedding. So when the bride and groom are sitting there, these are the words that are said to them. And over all of these things, put on love. And it talks about the obedience, about children listening to their parents and being respectful. The third element that comes through is actually in the first reading today, where Ben Sirach, he gives us the understanding of children, look after your parents in their old age. That's what it's about. So during the course of all of these readings, you have from a young couple coming together, having young children, the children getting older, the parents getting older, and then the children looking after the parents. It's the journey of our life. And so I just commend to you again those readings, but also understand the context in which they are written. In Jesus' time, the greatest love that was exhibited, of course, was the individual to God and respect for God and acting obediently to God. But the greatest love was usually exercised between a mother and the eldest son. And that relationship, that exercising, lasted the entire lifetime between a mother and the eldest son. That was probably the greatest love in the family. The least love that was exhibited and expected in the family was actually between the husband and the wife. The wife could expect next to nothing. If she got love, that would have been a real bonus, I guess. But that wasn't the expectation culturally in Jesus' time. So the understanding, I say to you again, of familial love is different through the cultures, it's different through the ages. And no two families here in this church this morning would have the same familial love, the same familial relationships. And it would depend on where your family is at this moment, to which one of those words in those readings will hit you mostly. You know, and I'm thinking one because of a conversation I had to have yesterday. I'm thinking of one in there. Parents, don't drive your children away. And that's so hard when our kids do not meet our expectations. And still, we try to love them. And I often hear grandparents say, I can only lead by example. And that's very, very wise. You cannot live their life for them. They will make their choices, the good and the bad. And we support them by loving them and perhaps even forgiving them. There is an old saying that a mother can care for 10 children. 10 children can't care for one mother. So don't be harsh with your families. Don't be harsh with understanding the church's understanding of family. Be plugged into the love of your family and use the key of forgiveness as often as you have to maintain that love.